Okay, awesome. All right, so as Danny mentioned, today is the last day of our Character of God series. And just as a reminder, right, today we're going to look at the word faithfulness. You could also translate it trustworthiness or trust as well. But everything that we've been doing is really coming from these verses, Yahweh, a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. He maintains loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he won't declare innocent the guilty. He will bring the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and grandchildren to the third and the fourth. And if you remember, right, this is a verse that's used a lot. All right, sections of it, components of it, the whole verse itself is used quite a bit through the Old Testament, to the point where I think Tim Mackey, and just a reminder, right, I'm getting all of this from the Bible Project, he actually calls it the John 3:16 of the Old Testament, which I thought was kind of an interesting way to put it. So anyway, we'll watch the video and talk a little bit about faithfulness.
If you try to describe what God is like, it can be difficult.
You know, you would think after...
Okay, never mind. I don't know why it does that. I still haven't figured out why it actually does that. Just a second. Hold, please. Sorry. Let me just shut that down. Okay, now let's see. Right? Yeah. See, why didn't it do that?
Presentation mode.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Spoken like a true IT guy.
Ponder the mystery of God and consistently describe God's character in this way. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. We're going to look at this last characteristic of God. It's the Hebrew word emet, which can be translated as faithfulness or even truth. It's related to another word you've probably heard before, amen, which is an untranslated Hebrew expression meaning that's truth. So, emet can mean truth, and it can refer to correct ideas or concepts. This is because emet has to do with stability and reliability, like when Moses holds up his hands for hours to defeat Israel's enemies, the Amalekites. His friends put a rock under him and support his hands so that his hands will remain emet, or steady. When emet is used of people, it describes reliable and stable character, or trustworthiness. Like when Moses appoints leaders in Israel, they're to be people of emet, people who are trustworthy, who won't take bribes or distort justice. So to say that God is full of emet doesn't just mean that God tells the truth or stands for truth. It means that God is faithful and trustworthy. This is why Moses calls God a rock, saying that he's faithful, just, and upright. He's saying that he can trust God to be consistent to his character. And the Hebrew word for trust is actually the verb form of the word emet. It's he'emi. It can be translated as to believe or to have faith, but most basically it means to consider someone trustworthy or to trust. The first person we meet in the Bible who considers God to be trustworthy is Abraham. God makes a promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah will have a huge family and that through them all nations will experience God's blessing. But Abraham and Sarah are really, really old, and they've never been able to have any children. And yet, in the face of these challenges, Abraham he'emins God. He considers God trustworthy to open a way forward. And God does show emet to Abraham and Sarah. In just four generations, their descendants form a whole nation called Israel. And God invites Israel into a trusting and faithful relationship. And when God leads them out of slavery in Egypt, Israel he'emins in God. They trust and rely on him. But when they come to the land God promised to Abraham, and they find out it's filled with giant cities protected by giants, their trust in God's emet fails. But eventually, we meet an Israelite who does trust God in the face of giants. It's David. He yells at the giant, "You come with a sword and a spear, but I come with the name of the God of Israel." David consistently relies on God. fact, it said that David walked in and met before God. So David considers God to be faithful and responds with faithfulness. This is why God promises to raise up a faithful descendant of David, whose kingdom will endure forever, or in Hebrew, have emet. This faithful king will become the source of trust and stability for others forever. But when the kingdom later collapses, the Israelites find themselves without a home and without a king. And they cry out, "Oh God, where is your loyal love that you swore to David in your emet?" They're accusing God of abandoning his promises to Abraham and to David. Is God trustworthy? Is he faithful after all? The first line of the New Testament is an answer to that question. This is the lineage of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In other words, through Jesus, God fulfills his promises. Or as Paul says, Jesus came on behalf of God's faithfulness. He is the faithful king whose kingdom will endure forever and who invites all nations to trust God. Now, trusting anyone is risky. It's hard to know if anyone is really full of emet. But the biblical story portrays a God who's been faithful all along and whose promises were fulfilled in the story of Jesus. And so as we look out at the obstacles facing us and our world, we're invited to take that same risk and join Abraham, David, and the people of God in trusting that God is overflowing with faithfulness.
If you remember, right, just kind of, we're going back, even the video kind of mentioned the part of the story that we are in, where the Israelites were rescued from Egypt, right? They traveled to Mount Sinai. They have been trusting and have faith in God during that time, and then they start to struggle, and you run into a situation where they actually make it all the way to the promised land, and then they turn around, right, and can't do it. They can't have the trust and the faithfulness, right, to go forward, and they mention that. So let's look at faithfulness. It is one of those words, I would say, of all of these, that it's probably the most used by us, right? When you think of the word trust, it's kind of part of our Christian vernacular, if you will, right? Faithfulness is another, you know, that those two words together very much. I don't have stats. I was actually listening to a podcast, and they mentioned that I think across both the Old and New Testament, it's probably used 1,100 times, give or take. So it's interesting that it's just one of those words of all of the words we've really looked at. I think this is the one where probably most of us are familiar with, right? It's not anything new. And I think the as I looked at it and I look at the word emet, one of the things that really honed in for me was very much around this reliability, this steadiness. That is not necessarily a word I would normally use to describe, but I think it's a good word to think through that, right? They gave the example of Moses needing his hand steadied while they were fighting the Amalekites, right? Yeah. So it when you think about faithfulness and that, to me, that reliability, being able to know perhaps an individual or people that you work with or know, right? That trust element, there needs to be an element of stability, of reliability. Consistency, I think, is another word that I would also use. So let's look at a couple of the verses here. So the first one in Proverbs 12:19 basically says truthful lips endure forever. So this baseline of truth, right, or true, is part of being faithful, right? So there's a truth element there. Psalm 35, your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. And then Exodus 17, when Moses held his hands up, that Israel prevailed, and when he let him down, the Amalekites prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other. Thus his hands were steady, or emet, until the sun set. So, you know, once again, right, it's this steadiness. And I think that's the important component here as you think through that. I think the other part that I thought was interesting is that emet is also covenantal, right? So it's this commitment. And remember, in the middle of all this, God has just created his covenant with the Israelites, right? That goes back to that scene again. He's created this covenant with the Israelites, and he is basically saying, I am here, right? I am committed. I am with you, even though they're downstairs building the calf, right? He's still there, and he stays with them. With a little bit of encouragement from Moses, but he stays with them, right? So when you look at some of these verses, right? So Nehemiah is actually recounting some of God's faithfulness, where he says, you are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from the Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him the covenant to give to his offspring the land. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous. Joshua talks about when the people renew their covenant with God before entering the land. So this is after the 40 years, right? So they go to the land, they see the giants, they run away, they go play in the wilderness for 40 years, right? Now they're coming back. So now they've come back, and Joshua says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then last but not least in Samuel, where he's talking about that people struggling to trust God and they want a human king. So this is before Saul is presented. The people struggle to trust God as their king, and they ask for a human king to be set over them like the surrounding nations. Although Samuel calls this a great evil, he reassures them that God will be faithful to them and not reject them. He then calls them to respond with like faithfulness to the good things God has done for them. And he says in 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider the great things he has done. So once again, right, we look at this trust or faithfulness being part of the foundational relationship, this commitment, this partnership that God wants with his people. And from that, right, he's expecting and wanting a reciprocal response from that perspective. So let's keep going. Then, as it says, God has builds a covenant with David. So he even says in 2 Samuel, but my love, or my hesed, will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And even in the video talked a little bit about this, right? David trusted God. David trusted God when he was young. I mean, remember, right? He was trusting the Lord when he was a teenager, perhaps, right? And sometimes I wonder, right? You think about faith as a young person. Maybe it's easier to be more faithful when you're younger. Maybe you have less responsibility. The world hasn't seeped in, per se, you know what I mean, to drive your doubts and concerns. But David definitely trusts God, trusts him in the face of a giant, which I love that. To me, that's very ironic that the Israelites were scared of the giants, right? While David was not, from that perspective, right? So they, there. And as I mentioned, right, compared to the Israelites who didn't trust God. And then God chooses David and makes a covenant with him, and God's promises to remain faithful to David's family line. And remember, right, ultimately, that's where Christ comes from. And that's where Matthew even begins the very first line of the New Testament, is all around, right, the genealogy or the lineage of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. God is faithful through Jesus. And remember, this goes back, right, to that covenant promise that that God made with Abraham, right? He said, your people will be the priests of the world, right? That's what they were aligned to do. And by doing that, then David comes along and God continues that commitment, that faithfulness all the way through. I think sometimes we forget about that. We forget that the Bible is one story, right? It's a piece of literature. It's one story that leads to Christ. And I think that is an important element because we have a tendency, I don't know about you all, but growing up in early days of my, when I became a believer, I was 17 years old, some of this, I was like, well, the Old Testament's the Old Testament. The New Testament's the New Testament. I didn't see it as one. There was some element there that either I didn't understand it, so I just assumed I didn't need to worry about it. But it was just this, I think when we take a step back and think about it across the entire piece of literature, I think things begin to fall more into place, or at least they have for me. So, Paul talks about in Romans, right? Jesus came to embody God's faithfulness to confirm the promises made to Abraham and Israel so that the nations would glorify God. And then the last one is Jesus, John 1:14. Jesus is the faithful king. He fulfills the Davidic role and is the one who will sit on David's throne. Once again, right? Replacing that. Okay. So let's go to questions. Faithful, reliable, trustworthy. Do these words have the same meanings today? Do we take them for granted? Something to think about. Can you think of someone in your life that epitomizes these traits? Who and why? So, I kind of finished a little early. So we'll take we'll take about 10 or 15 minutes. Remember, we got to be out by 10:15. I don't think that'll be a problem, but you know, as we make our way out, one thing I did want to let you know, Rusty Taco, is that the plan?
Yeah, but it sounds like there's a conflict.
Oh, the pie in the face. Yes. Okay. So never mind. We'll do that another day. All right. Don't forget about the pie in the face. Okay, so let's break into our groups. 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'll get back together.